Mishpachas, Todd Tamarin here with From Paradigm Shift, and thank you again for joining us today. And as always, we're going to all give all glory, thanksgiving, praise, honor, and worship to our Father of our forefathers, Yahweh Yahuwah Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Hallelujah, that's right. This is Paradigm Shift. We're going to be continuing on with the Thanksgiving show that we were doing, the theatrics of Thanksgiving. But I want to remind everybody why you're tuning in to this particular show. Because you are interested in moving your patterns in alert, aware, decided, determined ways so that those who are trying to be our handlers, our programmers, can no longer lead us around by the nose. We are taking every thought captive under Torah HaMashiach, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, and we are working to be not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can discern what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahweh. That's the goal here.
That's right. If our minds are not transformed from the cloud of deception, the lies that we have been living under, that's been passed down to us by our forefathers, where scripture tells us that we will reject, one day he will reveal to us the truth and the history and the origin of all the things that we've been practicing and claiming the work, that is worship to our Father of our forefathers, Yahweh Yahuwah Elohim, in the heaven of heavens, and in the manner that Yeshua did it, in direct opposition to what the scriptures have laid out. If we cannot understand the difference between the imitation and the real, there's no way that we can discern the righteous right ruling in the ways of our Father.
Can't discern between good and evil. That's what Solomon prayed that he would have a heart to do, was to discern between good and evil. And the truth is, there really aren't that many people out there who care about discerning between good and evil. They want to do what's comfortable, and becoming a Torah keeper is now a comfortable, cool thing for them. So as far as, you know, putting down their actual fleshly, their emotions and how they're going to treat people as they become crossed over an Ibri or a Hebrew, they're not interested in that kind of stuff. They just want to stick their Hanukkiahs up and their tzitzits on and proclaim the good news. Yeah. Well, what is the good news when you're treating each other like, you know,
dirt? Dirt. The reason why we treat each other like dirt is because we are dirt. And he says we will return to the earth. And we will not be raised up from that death. We will suffer the second death in the end, because we will all stand judgment before Yeshua HaMashiach, our King, who lived and died for us, and then was risen to the right hand of our Father. Because the way he walked him out in the times and seasons. But the reason why we are worshiping the dirt is because all of these religious holidays and pagan holidays from around the world that are synchronized with the 8 Sabbat quarters or near them, of the witchcraft, satanic Sabbat quarters of our Illuminati kings and sorcerer kings who mix the Torah with Persia and Babylonian teachings, and Egyptian especially.
Heathen teachings,
and they came out of it and they produced the Kabbalah and the Talmud in order to begin to rule as the Illuminati in these latter days. And don't blame it on the Jews, everybody out there, because it's also the kings of Israel that came from Parthia into Europe who rule, and they say from London that they are New Jerusalem, and that is the spiritual and temporal power of the earth, where they established the prime meridian, the times and seasons, in the face of our father, throwing out his feast days, using Constantine in the Dark Ages through their satanic contacts, through Lucifer, through their human sacrifice ceremonies that they do still to this day, in order to get the knowledge and the technology, in order to dominate, control this earth under a one world order again.
It's still way easier though to come out of the Christianity, paganity's feast days. That's and move into what everybody thinks are Abba's feast days, which we're here to, you know, what we know is everybody's got time wrong, so we're not proclaiming that anybody's got these right feast days, but we'll tell you what, it is way easier to come out of Christmas and Easter and move into what we, the biblical Moedim, whether we've got the times right or not, than it is to stop treating each other poorly. Then it's a lot harder to sit down and look somebody in the eye and quell your emotions and have a discussion, a proper and righteous discussion with them. It's much easier to go up on your little hilltop and throw your sticks and stones at somebody than it is to sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
That's the hardest thing that each one of us have to come out of. And if you're not coming out of it, he hates your Moedim.
That's right.
He doesn't care what you're doing.
That's right. You're not going to make it into heaven by behaving like a brat.
That's right. That's right.
That's the bottom line is because we haven't loved discipline, and the one perfect and wonderful discipline of the Torah is incredible. It's gentle. It's as gentle as we want it to be, or it's as harsh as we want it to be, because we're the ones that cause all the problems in our own life. When we usurp the authority of our Father by establishing other ways to worship and for our cultures to live by, we end up devouring one another because the heart is not tended to. There is only one way to tend the heart on this planet, and that's by giving the praise and worship where it belongs, and that's the Creator of this universe and not the things that have been created.
And taking your thoughts captive, quit blaming everybody else for why you're unhappy.
The fall feast days of Yahuwah are in worship to Him, and He set up a 7-year pattern that we would even have to let our fields lie fallow in the 7th year. You talk about a trust and faith in a loving Elohim, and for Him to do, and for us to be reminded, and for us to remember, as He commands us to over 360 times, that I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that brought you out of your filthy and unjust ways, your backbiting, and the worship of all the material things that you have been surrounded in Egypt all your life.
And a whole bunch of people died in the Exodus because they wouldn't come out of the backbiting. They came out of Egypt, but they wouldn't come out of the backbiting. So we know and fully expect, please, Mishpacha, fully expect that same regimen of rules is coming your way again. If you don't stop your backbiting, the earth's going to swallow you up.
That's right. That's right. Not just not a single one of us are going to enter the kingdom that way. There is a second Exodus in the middle of the book, Mishpachah. So you better start researching that and reading that and see what the requirements are in order to be a part of that. But Scripture tells us that he will save out all the people out of the 70 nations that have a heart still to love one another.
That's right.
Even though we may have the improper instructions or the improper manual, be it whatever religion we are in, He's going to bring His people out from everywhere that still have care for one another.
That's
more
right.
So than our own flesh or our own ideas of what's going on inside of us, to where we will attack other people if they don't fit the paradigm of what we believe about ourselves or religion or society or politics or anything.
That's the difference between the goats and the sheep, right there. The goats and the sheep. The goats are carnal minded, the sheep are spiritually minded. The goats are selfish, the sheep care about others. They're loving others as they love themselves.
And you see, you judge them by their actions, by their fruit, and He commands us specifically to do that. We are not allowed to condemn them, but we are commanded to judge them, so we can
keep... A tree is known by its fruit.
So if we're necessary, we can put them out of our camp, and the strife and the division will cease.
That's
right. If somebody refuses to repent and come to heart-to-heart understanding between brothers and sisters, as Scripture tells us in Psalm 133, Mama?
Dwelling together with brethren, the unity of... the brothers dwelling together in unity. There's nothing more glorious than that. I can't even remember.
There's nothing more glorious than that. And it leads to everlasting life. It's like the oil that runs down Aaron's beard. Brothers dwelling together in unity is nothing better than in the world. It leads to everlasting
life. And Proverbs 29:1, Father is really clear. He says that those who He reproves, if they don't submit their neck, then He's going to destroy them without cause.
Mm-hmm.
He does get to a point where He is done trying to work with you. He gives you option after option after option, and if you won't submit, if you won't repent and turn, then you will be destroyed.
All right, let's
get to the easy stuff again. Let's talk about this corrupt pagan day of Thanksgiving. This is easy to come out of. All right, I'm gonna continue reading from this article. Okay. This is another source, Our Wonderful World. We often think of Thanksgiving as an American holiday, begun by the Pilgrims in Plymouth in 1621. At that time, so the story runs, the survivors among the Mayflower passengers celebrated their first harvest in the New World. Actually, a Thanksgiving for the annual harvest is one of the oldest holidays known to mankind, though celebrated on different dates. In Chaldea, in ancient Egypt, and in Greece, the harvest festival was celebrated with great rejoicing. The Hindus and the Chinese observe the completed harvest with a holiday, and the Jews celebrate the gathering of the crops. From holidays around the world, we have a quote, the Romans celebrated their Thanksgiving early in October. The holiday was dedicated to the goddess of the harvest, Ceres, and the holiday was called Cerealia. That is where the word cereal comes from. From Rome to the New World, well, the Christians took over the Roman holiday and it became well established in England, where some of the Roman customs and rituals for this day were observed long after the Roman Empire had disappeared. In England, the harvest home has been observed continuously for centuries. The custom was to select a harvest queen for the holiday, like the homecoming queen.
Yeah, like homecoming queens when you're at your in the fall, at your high schools,
and you
know, they choose your homecoming queen and they do exactly what she's about to read, which is to decorate her up in a vehicle around before the crowd. So listen to this.
And this one, she was decorated with the grain. This harvest queen in England was decorated with the grain of their fields and the fruit of their trees. And on Thanksgiving Day, she was paraded through the streets in a carriage drawn by white horses. This was a remnant of the Roman ceremonies to honor Ceres.
It also imitates our leaders. They want us to believe in their pomp and their ceremony and their empire that they built and their flashiness and their fanciness. You know, fancy pants, you know, I mean, Miss Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, you know, they want you to bow down in authority anytime you see something like this. So it's predictive programming at the same time, Mishpacha, so that you will worship a goddess or a god on this earth rather than the Father in heaven.
But the English no longer thought of Ceres or cared much about her, they went to church on this day and sang their Thanksgiving songs. The Pilgrims also introduced the custom of eating turkey on Thanksgiving Day, for they found wild turkeys in great numbers. The merriment of the harvest festivals is older than recorded human history, and the merriment of the harvest holiday is likely to continue the world over as long as men obtain their food from the earth. Pagan men and women offered up sacrifices and prayers to the mysterious forces of the mystery religion, which they believed controlled the workings of nature on their behalf. Their hope in offering this worship was to ward off catastrophe, to ensure fine hunting, to obtain bountiful harvests, and to live again beyond the grave. The mystery worship was set in the cycle of sun worship. In the spring of the year, man sought fertility for himself and for his land. Bountiful crops would assure food for himself and his household. It was during this springtime of the year, at the vernal equinox, that the goddess he worshipped was fertilized by the god he worshipped. In the summer of the year, the hot, arid land he lived upon became brown and barren. At this summertime, directly on the summer solstice, Persephone went into the underworld to remain until the time for vegetation to begin growing in the fall of the year.
And that right there is a picture of Osiris. It's Osiris as well, coming from Egypt. That's where the main roots of this come from. Is Osiris, he dies and he goes into the underworld for a period of time, then he is reborn at this time of year, December 25th.
At the autumn of this yearly cycle, the sun started dying. The days grew shorter as the nights grew longer. At the fall of the year, directly on the autumn equinox, the goddess he worshipped began to weep for the lost or murdered in other mythologies, goddess or god. At the winter solstice, the sun started to come back to life as the days started growing longer and the nights shorter. Life would be assured for another year. The goddess who had been fertilized at the previous vernal equinox gave birth to a son at the winter solstice. The god had been reborn, like what is celebrated today on December 25th.
That's right.
Such was the cycle of the primitive fertility religions, portrayed through cute stories which effectively hid the vile, hideous meaning behind them. Thanksgiving Day worship is merely the ancient fertility rites veneered with the respectability of Christianity. However, the fact still remains that it is ancient fertility worship. The Apostle Paul tells us of the gods and the sacrifices to these gods in 1 Corinthians 10, 19-22. He says, "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yah. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of Yahweh and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in Yahweh's table and the table of demons? Do we provoke Yahweh to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The Apostle Paul has told us emphatically that the things the Gentiles sacrifice are sacrificed to demons.
And who are
we
the
are not to have any fellowship with this demon worship.
Hallelujah. And who are the Gentiles, Mishpachah? You need to look that up if you don't know the answer to that. The Gentiles back in those days, that was a slang term. It's like calling some other race or a color of peoples bad slang terms. But a Gentile was basically what the Jews considered the corrupted 10 tribes of Israel. They knew who these people were. The apostles went into the southern steppes of Parthia, into the southern Russia, the southern steppes of Russia, in order to go to the lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel. And I'd just like to say something else about this. This, again, the main theme of this is to get you to worship the creation rather than the creator. You know, so you're sitting down here and you're worshiping the earth and the dirt because as a goddess, and the earth itself as Gaia, and that is what the new environmentalism today is, and it's the religion of old. It is what is global. It is the answer to what they are going to give you of global warming, the solution of it, that will be in one mind. But the problem, the big problem with it is that we are worshiping the creative rather than the creator. And also the rule in all of these religions is you can do as thou wilt. So you come before Satan on these days and you are not repenting for anything. You're not making sure anything's cleaned out of your heart or out of your soul or repenting between your brothers and your sisters for what you've done. No, you've just come into a group of people that allow you to do whatever you want, when you want, and how you want it. And then you call yourselves holy, and all you're doing is becoming dirt and dross and melting back into the earth again as you circle around these ancient pagan fires and symbols.
That's right. So again, we have to remember Romans 12 too. I like the way that this guy actually did the.
You want to be dust? You're going to be dust.
The definition of it. He said, "And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and prove what is the righteous and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh."
So
that's a good
way.
We're talking about patterns
if
here, right? Paradigm shift.
That's right. If you stay in these patterns, these ancient patterns of these ancient times and season festivals that all nations, all religions of this world worship in their various dates, but on very near one another, the same times and seasons, you will never be able to tell good from evil again in your life. You're going to be lost in the strong delusion, Mishpachah.
Or if you stay in the patterns, the ancient patterns of the serpent seed, where you are carnally minded and selfish and self-centered to the extreme, where you cannot come out of all of your emotions and thoughts and feelings enough, you can't quell them enough in order to have a civil conversation between brethren, where you feel most comfortable just meeting on a Sabbath day or meeting on
a Sunday,
where you just go around a group of people for a period of time and then you go back home where you can live behind your facade of what a great person you are, where you're calling men unto yourself because you're trying to be their teacher, you're trying to be the king of the, you know, the king of the canyon or the king of the world.
Those
are problems, right? That's right. King or queen of Torah. Those
king
are issues
Yeshua.
Right there. And those are all ancient issues.
King of the rabbis.
There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, so I'm going to continue. Yah's word commanded us to be not like the pagans and the heathens, to not worship them like they do. That's in Deuteronomy 12, 28 through 32. Remember, pagan people set up their own or have their own holy days. That's what Thanksgiving Day is. The church proclaims it as a holiday, for the purpose of giving thanks to God for the many blessings we've received, especially agriculturally. Well, Thanksgiving Day is an outright copy of Sukkot. The counterfeiter has struck again. Plymouth Rock was not the first Thanksgiving Day. Ever wonder why Canada has a Thanksgiving Day also? This pagan feast honoring the agricultural gods goes back thousands of years in one form or another. The festival takes place in late autumn after the crops have been gathered. It's probably an outgrowth of the harvest home celebrations in England. Such celebrations are of very ancient origin, being nearly universal among primitive peoples. The first Thanksgiving in the New World, notice the wording, not the first, but the first in the New World, however, it was not merely a feast. There were prayers and sermons and songs of praise, and 3 days had gone by before the Indians returned to their forest and the colonists to their tasks. In 1789, the Protestant Episcopal Church in America announced the first Thursday in November as a regular annual day for giving thanks. But it wasn't until 1888, however, that the Roman Catholic Church formally recognized the day. So now we're seeing that it is a religious day. day.
And this is in their eight Sabbat quarter holiday worships of the Satanist witchcraft sorcerer kings that control the Federal Reserve banking systems around the world and who are murdering, stealing, and destroying today with NATO and UN and the UN and the United States and Russia and China and, you know, all the nations of the world, because these kings, there's 10 of them at the end where scripture tells us that they make a deal to give their power unto one person. And that is what is happening today. That's why you don't understand that none of your nation's leaders are following the laws, the traditions, the customs, the constitutions, whatever you want to call it, of your nations themselves. I forgot where I was going to go with that.
Okay, so throughout the country, but especially in New England, where the custom originated, the day is looked upon with great reverence. This sounds like a holy day or a day set apart. This is what happens on Christmas and Easter. Thanksgiving Day in Canada, yeah. The Dominion too, that has an annual Thanksgiving Day. It's celebrated in much the same way with family reunions and religious services.
Yeah, what happened? Did the pilgrims land there too in Canada? Oh, wait a minute. The Queen of England owns Canada, and she says it outright there. Everybody knows it in Canada. And look at the laws there, man. You're going to be slammed down with the Queen's authority and socialism there in a heartbeat, you know. And they're trying to do the same thing to these United States, which they actually have accomplished, especially with this Obamacare bastardization. I mean, they put out only 40% of the code for that website. There is an evil, evil mind behind this whole idea and this perception, this theater of Obamacare healthcare that was put up before you, and it also has chipping of you in there and many other things.
Okay,
but
another show.
But I want to get back to that this day of Thanksgiving, the way they've got it set up in late November, is that it's right after Samhain or Halloween, All Hallows Eve, which is the end of their witchcraft, sorcering, astrological worshiping, planet worshiping year. And so the All Saints Day, which is what the Catholic Church changed it into, was the first day of their new year, is November 1st. So then after that, your first celebrations that you have, that you've been given, are these ancient pagan or rites and festival rituals with the celebration of Thanksgiving, if you celebrate it here in the United States or in Canada.
So it's proclaimed by the Governor General, this Thanksgiving Day, as a harvest festival, but although it's a public statutory holiday, it's not traditional in date. Usually it falls on the last Monday in October. If the harvest is early, an earlier date can be appointed. And although we have nationalized Thanksgiving, celebrations were held in ancient times to give thanks for the bountiful harvest. The Greeks honored Demeter, the goddess of agriculture, with a 9-day celebration. The Romans honored Ceres. Anglo-Saxons rejoiced with a feast to celebrate the reaping of the harvest. And the Jews have even given thanks with their 8-day feast of Tabernacles. Now that is not a Jewish holiday. That is Yahweh's Moedim. Yep. It does not belong to the Jews.
Yeah, read the scripture. It says they are not the feast of the Jews. It's Yahweh's feast. The eight Sabbats. Or not eight Sabbats. The seven feasts of Yahweh. And the eight Sabbats are the bastardization of that, because you have seven feasts of Yahweh, with the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacle being the eighth. So you had a counterfeit precisely of Abba's
what Abba said. That's right. So you've got to choose who you want to serve.
That's right. And you also don't have to worry about when you will have these feast days, because if you do it by the way Father says to do it, he's in the control of when the rain comes, when the seeds sprout, when harvest is ready, all of that. And like I said, again, you talk about a leap of faith. It's just like in the Exodus, where he told us to gather a double portion on the sixth day for the Shabbat. We're not supposed to gather or work or do anything, and we gather a double portion on the sixth. He said that in the sixth year we would be given that double portion for plenty for the seventh year, when he told us not to plant. So you talk about being totally in charge of the times and seasons. If you are right in your heart between your brothers and sisters, and you rightly rule between one another, unlike our Canaanite brother, mixed Nephilim brothers who went with the side of Satan, and who are the kings of queens of day that rule the earth. That is a faith that goes beyond their understanding. It goes beyond our understanding today, because we could not imagine not planting crops in any year for fear that we would starve for the winter.
So even before biblical times, the ancient people of the Mediterranean basin held festivals at harvest time in honor of the Earth Mother, the goddess of the corn. It was always one of the most important deities in the hierarchy of the gods, and her child was the young god of vegetation. Corn can be the European term for any grain. Indian corn, American corn, is called maize. The ancient Semites called the Earth Mother Astarte. The Phrygians called her Semel. The Minoans had an Earth Mother for each district. All these local deities were absorbed by the Greeks into the one great goddess Demeter. Besides eating, feasting...
Gaia today.
Eating, feasting, etc. Yep, Gaia. The married women practiced special rites. Under the cover of night, the women spent the next day bathing nude in the sea and dancing and playing games on the shore. Then they fasted, sang songs, then feasted, sang, and had general gaiety. All this lasted over a period of several days. We're going to have to go on with a part three here, Mishpacha.
That's right. So keep looking up everything in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about Comet ISON a little bit, too, because it's going around the sun on Thanksgiving Day this year as well.
You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.